Hello and welcome again to Noise Boys.
Boys.
Alex, you gotta synchronize it. You gotta say boys at the same time.
But if it's slightly desynchronized, it sounds a little more human.
I don't care.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, this is a spooky, spooktober, spooky version. I know that Best Boys has been coming out. I've been using that joke over and over and over again, but no one actually listens to Best Boys. So I'm just gonna repeat it here and no one will even know. It'll be great, Alex, especially when you edit out that part there, you know? So I just sound like real smooth, you know? It'll be great.
What?
So, it's the month of October. It's spooky. It's great. And it's actually been a little while since we did a Noise Boys.
What do you want me to say about it? Yeah, it's been a while.
I expect you to go into your Warframe shtick.
Oh, okay. That's the best segue ever. But in the month of October, a bunch of shit's been happening. You might have seen that I'm a little bit of a Warframe player. I hop on every couple of months to just see what new updates are out. I could never sit down and play the game forever and ever, like my friend who's mastery level, like, goddamn 23. I'm fucking mastery, like, barely 11. But anyway, the new update hit, which was this big, big, massive, huge, gigantic update that they were hyping up for a while called the Plains of Eidolon, which, Warframe, if you didn't know, Tad, was this, like, mission select. You jump in with either, like, three puppies or three friends, and you do missions of varying, like, stuff, like spy or sabotage, defense, etc., etc. So, Planes, they're trying to do this semi-open-worldy kind of thing. They were inspired heavily by Destiny, and they just wanted to be like that. So, like, there's, like, a town, which is instance that you can hang out in, pick up quests, and, like, make shit, and, like, make weapons, and make tools and stuff. Then you can go into the Planes, which is this other big, like, instanced area which the other you or your friends go into, and there's just shitloads of stuff to do. There's enemies always spawning around the place, which is a bunch of Grineer trying to take over. You can mine shit, you can fish shit. There's just all this big crazy stuff to do. And they made a new Warframe called Gara. It was this glass themed Warframe too. It looks pretty nice. It's such a crazy and cool idea. But holy shit, is it bugged to fuck. Like, they had to put, like, three hotfixes out all goddamn ready, and it still barely fucking works. In order to play with your friends on the first day, Tad, you had to go down to the Planes just, like, on your own, just, like, open it up and load it up, then go with your friends, and, like, leave it and then come back to do it, because it just wouldn't work otherwise. It is a fucking clusterfuck. When it works, though, it's pretty good. I haven't played Gara, and I don't really care to.
I only played a little bit of Warframe. I played, I think it was on April 13th of 2016. Tim was like, hey, Chad, you want to play some Warframe? And I'm just kind of like sitting there stunned, like, oh, yeah, sure, I guess. I played I used the bow and the shuriken, and it was boring as shit because I guess I chose really lame weapons. I chose, like, stealth weapons. But, I don't know. Warframe didn't click with me. It just felt... I think it might have just been because of my weapon choice, but it felt like I wasn't doing anything. Like, yeah, I'd kill enemies in one shot, but so what? You know, I'm able to just climb over the entire environment. You know, I don't have to follow any paths. I'm just able to jump around and do dumb shit and then slide around and get to the end of the level without any real structure. So it kind of felt eh. But that was, you know, like 2 years ago. So
anyway, another thing that happened very recently in this month was Rick and Morty Season 3 finally came out for everyone to see.
Oh, it's actually, yeah, that's right. It's already done. They only had 10 episodes this month.
Yeah. And I have a couple things I want to say about it. Ignoring all the big fan stuff that's been going around and all the fucking memes, so I want to talk about the actual Season 3 itself. I didn't like it all that much compared to Season 1 and 2 because it had this weird formulaic structure that just felt like shit. Like, well, let me explain. After the first episode, which was premiered back during April Fool's Day, every single episode was like, hey, look, we're going to pretend we're Rick and Morty for a second. Here's a bunch of fun, wacky sci-fi bullshit that you just, you know, are expected to believe, which is funny. They just hit you with all that shit at once. And then here's a, like, 5-minute scene of everyone being really, really dramatic and complaining about their fucking stress and shit about the divorce.
Yeah, like, what, is this fucking BoJack Horseman? No, I don't... What, fuck off.
Like, it was in every single episode, there would just be this segment where they would just, like, have these, like, breakdowns in finger quotes at each other, and just be like, it just didn't feel like Rick and Morty. It felt like a drama, and that's not what Rick and Morty's about.
From what, and I didn't bother to actually Google this to confirm it, but from what I understand, the two dudes, what are their names? Dan Harmon
and someone else. The guy actually does all the voices.
Fuck, what's his name?
I don't remember. I don't care. Dan Harmon and Han Darman.
Yeah, Han Darman and them. They wrote the first episode of the season.
Justin Roiland. That's it.
That's it. And the last episode of the season, which were the two by far best episodes of the entire season because it felt like Rick and Morty. I mean, there was one episode that really stuck out as garbage to me. Like, what the fuck is this? And that was the Jerry episode. Why the fuck would... Okay, so in the episode, Morty or Rick, like, goes and gets, like, captured and subjected to a bunch of other stuff. Like, oh, Rick gets caught and, like... Rick gets caught. That right there was like, well, hold on a fucking second. And then, like, oh, yeah, he bonds with Jerry and he starts treating him a little bit less like garbage. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? Why would Rick give a single fuck about Jerry ever? I don't understand.
Rick didn't get caught on purpose. He took him to that vacation spot because you can't die there. Because he didn't want Jerry to go die because Morty would be pissed off at him then.
Yeah, like, that was good. That was solid. And then there was the part where they went on the boat and, like, Rick got shot with a dum-dum dart or whatever. And it's like, well, hold on a second. That episode was the worst offender. It just felt... It was like season two. Season two, they had that episode with the president, which felt like it was from a completely different show.
Yeah, that one was just garbage.
That's what the majority of season three felt like. It felt like that episode with the president. There was a few funny goofs, like, throughout it, but, yeah, season two was fucking... Season two had higher highs, but, yeah, season three kind of sucked, except for the first and last episode. I did not like it that much.
See, what I wanted to complain about, actually, was, funny enough, in the fucking Rick and Jerry episode, was I didn't mind the Rick and Jerry part, even that little drama bit, because it felt a little more natural to see Rick and Jerry bitch at each other, because Jerry started it, and Jerry's an emotional kind of guy, and he's kind of like a little weasel motherfucker, so that kind of made more sense. But, like, also in that episode was the entire side story with Summer turning all huge, and fucking Beth not wanting to ask her dad for help so she could, like, pretend that she was smart or some bullshit. And then Morty having his whole breakdown at her. That whole bit felt so goddamn forced and unnecessary. That sucked ass. That just dragged the entire episode down.
Yeah, the episode with the fucking, I think it was the one with Pickle Rick, where there was the therapist.
Yeah, that's Pickle Rick.
Like, that was the dumbest shit I had ever seen. Like, it felt like that therapist was trying to get Rick. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Have you ever, whoever wrote that one, it feels like they just fundamentally misunderstood the entire point of the show and tried to turn it into, trying to turn it into BoJack Horseman. And it's like, okay, BoJack Horseman, that's an alright show, whatever. I don't care. Like, I'm not watching Rick and Morty to watch BoJack Horseman 2. I'm watching Rick and Morty because it's about, like, a cartoon scientist, you know, like, the wacky cartoon scientist taken to, like, kind of a lot, like, if you just kind of like, oh, well, hold on, if he's, you know, if there's wacky cartoon scientist who's able to do whatever silly bullshit, and then you kind of stretch it out, and then you just have, like, goofy voices and shit.
Like, the first fucking opening scene of Rick and Morty, when you showed me this show, when it came out, like, years ago, you showed me that opening scene where he just turns on the fucking light, and he just goes to Morty's room, he's like, Morty, Morty, oh, Morty, you gotta understand, you gotta come with me, Morty. And he just, like, drags him out when he's just fucking, like, drooling all over the place. He's just fucking drunk off his mind. I saw that, and I was immediately sold on the show, because I thought that entire situation was hilarious. I immediately knew who Rick was, because he comes in with a fucking lab coat, that he's some science motherfucker. He comes in here, brings him in his fucking flying car, and he's talking about how he's gonna fucking blow up the entire world with a fucking bomb. That whole thing is fucking hilarious. Now, look at the fucking therapist scene, where years later, instead of having a funny little gag segment where Rick's fucking around, and the characters are fucking around, it's having this slow-paced, drawn-out scene where the therapist isn't even trying to do anything humorous, she's directly telling the audience, not to anyone else, directly telling the audience, this is Rick's characterization that we've explained for the over the years. Rather than show it and shit, we're just literally going to tell you it all right here in this long 5-minute scene for no reason. Did you find that funny? You shouldn't have. It seems like it was an entire segment just made so that, like, Wisecrack could pretend that they were smart for analyzing the character. Like, fuck you too? What was the point of that episode?
Yeah. Season 4, hopefully it's more like the first and last episode of Season 3, because I was really worried that Season 3 was going to go back. It was going to stay like every other episode of that season. It'd just be trash, and then if they would have tried to continue, like, this super serious evil Morty, like, well, man, check all this, you know, the last episode of the season was Rick, like, doing all this crazy shit because why don't you take a selfie with my grandson, you piece of shit? You know, they disregarded all this dumb bullshit that was set up in the previous episodes because it doesn't fucking matter. That was a good episode. I really liked the finale. I'm glad that gives me hope for season 4 to be more like that. Also, the very ending where it's like, ooh, wee, I went to school, got my GED. Hope you didn't sit around and do jack shit all year. That was pretty good.
Literally me. But what I just want in the new season is to be like, Rick and Morty is not supposed to be a drama. Rick and Morty is supposed to be these two idiots who are kind of like opposites of the same coin going on a big adventure through weird science bullshit. Whether it's a movie reference or not, they just go on a really, really just obtuse fucking adventure to other dimensions and shit.
There is one goddamn joke in the intro of every episode that makes me laugh, and that is the math equation that flies across the screen of 3 + 3 = 6. That makes me laugh every single time.
Anyway, another thing that came out in the sweet, sweet month of October that I really wanted to get talking about, because it's all over the internet now, is that new game, Cuphead.
Well, actually, I think Cuphead came out at the end of September, actually. Like, September 29th.
Oh, well, you know what? Close enough to the sweet, sweet month of October, the game Cuphead came out, and it's been all over the internet.
Cuphead's great. I love it a lot.
See, I have a kind of love and hate relationship with Cuphead, where it's like, okay, so you know how when I was talking about Hollow Knight, where I said Hollow Knight was a game that was, if I had to put it on the wholesome meter as a Christian gamer, I would put it as a 10 out of 10 wholesome-ass game. Everything about it looked and sounded and played well. Everything was, like, made with pure heart and love. Cuphead, kind of looks like it's a wholesome-ass fucking game. And it almost looks like it was made with nothing but love and heart and mind. But when I actually play it, it doesn't feel like a game that's wholesome, swell, and all that other bullshit I just kept saying.
Now, what do you mean?
So, okay. So, you look at Cuphead, you start it up, and they're fucking doing the little fucking song about him and Mugman making a deal with the devil and shit. It's got the stupid filter over it. It's all animated, hand-drawn, and they look like the old 30s cartoons. In fact, they even add the copyright for the company is written in 1930, if you didn't notice that in the title.
Or during the loading screens. I actually didn't notice that. That's a good touch.
It is a good touch. I like that. But it goes in here, everything looks fucking great, it sounds fucking great. Then I actually play the fucking game. Like, you go to a fucking run and gun level, it feels incredibly fucking not good. It looks like it was rushed, which all the run and gun levels were. They've stated this. They were all added, like, last minute, just to pad out the game, and, like, gave it more than just being a boss rush. They're incredibly short, rushed, blah blah blah. There's an explanation for that. When you should do the bosses, though, all the game is are these bosses. I think there's like, fuck,
at least 20. I think 24.
There's got to be like 20 something. So you go into these fights, and it's like, it's not really about how you play, what you react to. It's just like you go in there, you die because you only have 3 hits. Then you redo the boss again. It's just this trial and error type of gameplay that will hit you with like one surprise attack during like the last phase that you'll die to. Be like, oh wow, I didn't see that coming, and then you play again. And in modern days, the day of gaming, I see a game like that as not a game. It reminds me a lot of those I want to be the guy, I want to be the Boshi kind of games, which just again, it's like throwing random shit at your face near the end just to kill you, make you die, and then say, oh shit, in front of the camera so people sub to you on Twitch. the game in the end feels soulless to me because of that shit. My best example being that fucking boat in the last island. So this motherfucking boat, he comes up here. They almost get him completely right. Like they do the cartoony aspect of how he attacks really well. Like he like chews like he looks like he's chewing tobacco and spits out a cannonball at you. That's funny. They use something like a ship will do. A ship would fire a cannonball at you. But if they do it in a cartoony way, that gives that boat like personality. But then near the end, he just shoots a big giant fucking laser beam out of nowhere. Like you can duck it. In fact, you can parry it too. But you're never gonna expect it the first time. Why the fuck would that? Why would the boat shoot a fucking laser beam? Why would it do that? Because fuck you. Haha, they got you. When I got hit by that and died, in my mind, I just saw Filthy Frank drop down and said, ha, bet you didn't see that one coming, did ya? Finger gun at me, and then he flew away. And I just said, wow, fuck you too, game. I see how you want to play it.
Now, see, with that one there, I disagree about about the trial and error aspect. For the most part, I agree on the boat. That part was shit. That was a garbage attack. There was, if the boat at one point, like, shot out like a pew at any point, I would have been like, okay, he's going to do it. Because what it is he rears up, and then it looks like, okay, I expect, like, okay, he's going to ram the dock. Or he's going to, like, back up and then rush forward, and I have to, and he's going to destroy it. And then, like, I'm going to have to jump between platforms while he's shooting stuff at me. But no, he just shoots a giant beam that hits you. I'm like, oh, okay, alrighty. But that right there was the only real aspect of like, haha, fuck you, that got me. Because every other move, pretty much every other, okay, there was one other, and that was the dragon in the third phase. But that's because I was so concentrated on the clouds that I didn't notice that it had such a long windup. Because any attack that's a big widescreen, pretty much any attack in the game has enough buildup so that you can hide in the corner and see, okay, that's how this move works.
Yeah, and then the boat laser beam does have windup.
Yeah, the only one, because the boat one you just don't expect it because it doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah.
All the other ones, though, like, I whenever I died in Cuphead, I did not think, oh, that was total bullshit that came out of nowhere. I thought, damn, I should have been prepared for that. Like, what was a really good boss that had a move like that? The genie. He had the three Illuminati pyramids. It would open up an eye, and it's like, okay. So you don't know what it's going to do, but you should think, okay, it's a pyramid. It's going to, let's see, there's an eye there. They're spinning around in circles. It's probably going to do something. I'm going to get in a diagonal angle away from it. And then, you know, like a little bit above, because you might shoot lasers out of the three tips. And then he does like a big plus thing. It's like, okay, makes sense. They give me enough time to position myself to see what that attack is. So I disagree with that. And now this is coming from someone who died 355 times before he beat the devil. So like that, you're just flat out wrong and bad at video games.
I died only 95 times, Tad.
Yeah, but you're also bad.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so the other attack that I said, okay, fuck you too, was a Calamaria, the Gorgon beam. What do you do about that one, Dad?
Easy, you stand up in front of her head because she can't hit you there.
But that's so close to the actual danger.
No, it's not. See, okay, that got me the first time because I was like, oh, okay. But see,
yeah, but you are right. That is what you do. But like,
they hit you with that the first time, so that you realize, oh, this is an attack she does. Now I know to avoid this.
Okay, but what about? And then she does it again.
What about phase three?
Phase three, when she's the flying head part, you have to go through the cave with the rocks and shit flying at you that she tries to freeze you, so you hit one of the rocks. The only way you can stay safe is, again, standing right in front of her face, which is where her snakes are shooting out the poison balls, and the rocks are coming from the other side of the screen still, that you won't have any time to react to.
It's like, what, the phase three in the red cave?
Yeah.
Well, for that one, you can just dodge it. Or you see it coming in, the first time you might think like, oh shit, I'm going to get hit because it's like a weird screech. But you get hit and then you're like, oh, okay. I mean, when it happened to me, I positioned myself in the middle of the screen and I'm like, okay, so I got stunned again. So she could still do that because she did it early enough on. So that one, it's like, yeah, I mean, I don't see why she wouldn't be able to keep using that attack.
I'm not saying because that. I'm just saying, like, what do you do about it other than stand right in front of her tits and in the danger? You're only going to figure that out through pure trial and error, because you're going to get hit by it the first couple times you do it, because you're going to try to figure out, well, where can I stand to get away from this?
Well, no, I mean, the first time that you get stoned, you're like, look at it, like, okay, freezes me in place, let me not stand, because the screen's going to keep moving, I'm not going to be able to move, I'm positioning myself so that I can attack her, I'm in danger of getting stoned. It slowly comes at me. I know where it's going to come. I'm going to position myself to not get hit because I'm not a fucking idiot.
You can't go, Ted. The scream that she throws out at you is the size of the entire tunnel.
Yeah, so you position yourself that when you're frozen for that half second because you know to mash A and get out of it.
But Ted, did you know that you could just avoid it altogether?
Like, yeah, I guess. But so there's two different ways that you can deal with it. I don't see what the issue is.
You wouldn't figure out how to deal with it.
If you don't have the syndrome, you'd figure it out just from
hit and died.
Alex, you've played the boss fight. You understand what happens when she hits you and you turn into stone. I don't see why that's such a logical leap.
You hit A, but you should be able to avoid the attack immediately, which you can. But you're only going to figure that out if someone tells you, because you didn't know until I just told you now. If someone tells you it, how to completely avoid the attack altogether. Or you just die a bunch and figure it out for yourself, but you're dying a bunch to figure out a problem, which is trial and error bullshit, like I just said.
Okay. All right, Alex, are you like the Dark Souls thing where like Dark Souls is just trial and error bullshit?
No,
like
Dark
artificial
Souls isn't
difficulty?
Because there's more to Dark Souls than just fighting the bosses of Dark Souls. Dark Souls is a full-on video game with other shit to it. You've got multiplayer, you've got stats and shit you level up, and you build characters around and stuff. Dark Souls has a world to it. Dark Souls
I'm
is a video
very
game.
Confused as to what the fuck you're trying... Okay, so let me try and puzzle
I'm
this
saying,
out. So
what I'm trying to say is Cuphead is only this, and there's not much actually to it. It looks like it's this really, really, really cool, big, fucking wholesome-ass made game, but when you actually play it, it's incredibly fucking shallow.
Like, so are you just... I don't understand. Like, it just... Alex, this is literally just a get-good situation.
But I was better than you at it.
Apparently you just blundered your way through, or you reset when you took a damage and actually try to finish the boss because you're a little bitch.
I finished the boss, Ted, otherwise I wouldn't have beaten the game.
Like, I don't okay, so this is like those people that are like, when they fought King Dice, they're like, oh, this is total bullshit, how was I supposed to know what to do?
I first tried King Dice.
Exactly, like, no, it's obvious, you jump off the pink cards. What are you, retarded? Have you not played the game? Like... It's just
King Dice is... Well, to be fair to those people, the hitboxes on the cards are actually kind of buggy. Like, they have to fix that stuff, if they haven't hot-fixed it already. And if you are... I wasn't, because I used the fucking disappearing dash, but if you take that one thing that auto-parries for you the first time, it actually breaks your hitbox on that fight, and you'll take extra damage or whatever. You just won't... Like, you straight up will not be able to parry off, like, the first card. You'll just get hit.
That's just fucked, then.
Like, there's an actual bug with that fight, to be fair. But anyway...
But, like, she turns into the thing, drops her head down, and shoots those little bullet bills. They go in a pattern. The game gives you enough time to see them coming from the bottom of the screen, figure that pattern out. Okay, that's what I have to do. I'm trying to think of any total bullshit, no way you could have known attacks, and literally the only one I could think of is that boat. Because every other one, you were just too stupid to figure out how the attack worked, I guess? Because I'm genuinely having a hard time trying to figure out why. Because you beat the game, you should realize, like, okay.
Well, here's an attack that you won't be able to see coming because it is literally RNG of what attack you're gonna get. The two frog bros.
No, Alex. No, okay. That was the one I was just going to give up of another good example of it shows you what to do. Okay, so let's look at each one of the frog bros attacks on the slot machine. The devil one. It has a fire on the top or the bottom. Okay, if there's a fire on top, I'm not going to try jumping over that.
You have time to react about that.
Yes, they show you exactly what... They give you, like, a good second or, like, a good, like, three-fourths of a second to make. Okay, this attack's coming in. I look at the visual information. There's a ball bouncing on top of it. There's another one coming immediately after it. Okay, I'm going to lightly jump through. Like, the game... There's no attacks besides the boat that are just instant. Like, ha, fuck you. No way you could have known or known anything to do about that.
But you're still not answering my other thing I said, though, where the game still feels shallow because all there is to it are these bosses that you're just going to play, die to a bunch, and then go right back into it. Dark Souls... People compare it to Dark Souls. Dark Souls has way more game than just fighting the bosses of Dark Souls.
Well, that's because Cuphead doesn't need anything else. Like, it's just a
boss
rush game.
I think that that's lame. I think there should be more to this. I mean, hey, all the running gun levels suck ass, so what do I fucking know? Maybe I am wrong. I mean, that fucking one where you have to switch between the two levels, like the gravity, that one could kiss my ass. I died to that level more than half the bosses in that game, because holy shit, like, fuck that level, dude. That one sucks ass.
The running gun levels probably only exist because Microsoft was like, hey, you can't, we can't, it's not a popular game idea to just have only bosses now. Add in some levels, just a few. Just add, like, I don't know, 6. And they're like, alright, sure, whatever.
Because a lot of people fucking hate the running gun levels still, too, just like me. But they love all the bosses and stuff. I just think the game doesn't have actually all that much going for it once you actually play past the start of it and you see how great it all looks and sounds. When you actually play it, it's kind of shallow.
I mean, also consider this. It's not a $60 game, Alex.
I mean, yeah, it's
still... I don't know if you're going in here expecting a $60 Dark Souls level experience.
Hollow Knight was $20 and gave me a full-on experience, though. Made by only 2 people. Also all hand-drawn, though.
I guess that's true. But even still, like, I guess it's just not the type of game mode, not the type of game for you, then, if you didn't like just the boss fights.
It's just,
I mean, that's what the game
the
is banking on. That's what the game delivers. If you don't like only boss fights, you're just not going to like the game then.
The game looks great. It sounds great. And I did enjoy it. I mean, I fucking beat it. I just wish there was more to it than just that. It just feels a little shallow.
There's only, like, one real complaint I have about the game. And that is... And this was most likely just due to time restraints. Which is when you beat a boss, they do like a ooh, oof, ah, ooh, like a death animation, and then it just kind of fades out. There's no like explosion or anything. Like, it just kind of ends. And I think that was just because of a time restraint. Like, we can write, you know, we can put in, you know, a big, like, you know, when you're fighting Werner Mauser or whatever, Werner Mauser, you know, the final part is just like the cat face falls on, he goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then he could like have the cat explode or something. But, you know, that just doesn't happen. I assume it was just because of time, because this game was in development for like 5 fucking years.
I thought it was 6 years.
It was a really long time. And the only reason it got finished is just because they got that money from Microsoft. Well, most likely because they got the money from Microsoft to finish it.
The only other complaint I have with the game is that, like I mentioned with the King Dice fight, there's actually a lot of bugs with this game. If you ever watch any like random speedrunner play the game for whatever reason you're watching that, if you kill a boss too fast, it bugs out fucking hard. Like, straight up phases will not work and the game will pretty much just soft lock. And it's for almost every boss in the fucking game. I mean, I was watching this one guy who was fighting the devil, and because he did so much damage to the devil doing weapon swap, which is the thing that most people should do just to get through bosses a little quicker, the devil, like, you know, where he takes like his skeleton out and jumps down the hole, the screen just wouldn't transition. He just couldn't play the game anymore.
See, I did weapon swap at the very end, and then I turned it, and then I stopped doing it because it was just like, oh, well, this game's not fun anymore if I'm just blasting through bosses, not actually playing the game. So I just stopped doing it because it made the game way too easy. Because you're just glitching the game to double your output.
Yeah, and like I just said, it bugs the game out really fucking hard, and you can just skip through things. Like, during that one plant, this one actually isn't the weapon swap one, during that one plant fight, I know how he, like, collapses his hands together, opens them up, and, like, the seeds come out and attack you. They fly at you like little bullets. If you run into his hands for whatever reason, he'll just bug out and keep his hands open for the entire boss fight, so you can just kill him. When the devil jumps down that hole, if you shoot charge shots into the sky, you'll hit him, and you can kill him without actually jumping down there, and just beat him right there. If that you need to, the devil's pretty fucking easy compared to some other bosses. That one Sally stage play... When she's, like, doing her screen transitions to, like, her other, like, plays, her hitbox is loaded up in the top left of the screen, so you can just shoot at it and kill her before she's even, like, finished. Which, that one's not really much of a bug, more of a game exploit, because you have to put the hitbox somewhere. It's mostly all the bugs come from either the hitbox thing, or just phase transitions bugging the fuck out. Like, you can beat that bee before she actually turns into a plane, and it bugs out really hard. You still get credit for it, but the victory screen just fucks up. Like, she tries, like, she does, like, the things that are, like, exploding, kinda, but she still tries to do the animation for turning into a plane, then she soars to the bottom of the screen, and then just stays there, and then you just go back to the fucking menu and you beat her. Like, it just fucks up hard. Because they don't expect you to actually do damage to these fucking bosses, and I don't really know how they fucked that up so badly. But anyway.
See, one of the things I really liked that the game did, and I really, really, really appreciated this, is that it doesn't give you anything for free. Even when you get your supers and you use it at a bad time, you're just going to get hit because you came out of it. You don't have invincibility frames. You get a little bit of a jump, but if you're a dumbass and you use it at the wrong time, like, oh, I'm going to use it to dodge this this super long attack. No, it doesn't work, you dumbass. You just get out of it and get hit. But Cuphead's good. You're just bad, Alex.
Yeah,
and bad at understanding attacks that bosses do, applying logic to them, and understanding how to dodge them.
I didn't beat it with less with like a third of your deaths or anything.
Yeah, you also like doubled your damage because you were bad at the game.
I was playing it efficiently.
Yeah, sure thing, whatever. I bet you only you exclusively play high tier characters in fighting games too, because that's playing it most efficiently.
How dare I play the game well?
Anyway, so let's talk about so staying on the topic of video games. Let's talk about our favorite Halloween, because it is the Spooktober. Oh, also, Beppy was the best boss in the game. Let's talk about Scream Fortress. Scream Fortress is great. I fucking love it. I look forward to this year's. I look forward to it every year. Last 2 years, they haven't really done anything, but Team Fortress 2 has the best Halloween updates out of any game I've ever played. And out of the two games which I could think of that had Halloween updates, which was RuneScape and Team Fortress, and that's it. I can't think of any other game I played that had, like, consistent Halloween updates.
Well, you should play a little more, like, MMOs and shit, because every MMO in the world has a fucking Halloween update. It's like everybody sells Halloween for some reason.
Overwatch had an alright, but they had a pretty good one last year. This year's was really lame. They didn't even do anything. They didn't do anything. Because when I saw the promotion, I'm like, oh, cool. Junkenstein's Revenge is back. Oh, cool. They made a spooky Halloween Eichenwald. Now the, you know, now the zombies are going to come across the entire map and it's going to be oh no, it's just oh okay. You just added voice lines for like Zenyatta and two and like three and okay. Okay, that's all you did. What the fuck have you been doing? What the fuck have you been doing besides ruining your game? Oh, I guess making only gold skins for the events now. I guess that 3,000 coins. Just come on, cough it up, Alex. What are you, poor? Was there even a purple or a blue skin for this Halloween event? I think it was only golds.
I want to say that there had to have been at least one, but I don't remember off the top of my head. But Overwatch is shit, so what else did you expect other than a shitty event? A shitty reused event with barely any other work put into it, because it's Overwatch. They put as little work into things as fuck, and they put as little work into things as slow paced as humanly fucking possible. That's why we barely get any maps or characters a fucking year.
I think I played that Junkrat. Well, I played that Junkrat, the new Junkrat map, like once, but that's because, you know, I just haven't had an incentive to play. Of course, you still went and completed all your fucking competitive ones for some reason to get your gold gun for a game you don't enjoy playing. So you can have it on a character that sucks.
Well, actually, it's funny you say that. I already have my golden guns for all the characters that I give a shit about having golden guns on. So I did my Overwatch comp placements earlier just because my friend told me I should. And it's some weird, like, dare, I guess. So I just did it. And, yeah, I did that. I got diamond like usual. Well, I placed into high plat, and I was like, god damn it, because my placements went awful. Everyone was so fucking bad. Myself included, because I was so rusty, because I haven't played in so long. Then I just went back up to Diamond and said, fuck it, I don't care about going back to Masters again. And, because fuck this game. And, fuck Overwatch. Fuck the Halloween event. And I can't wait for the Christmas event to also be some reused bullshit with nothing new added to it like before. The Halloween event that I actually liked playing was... I kind of liked the World of Warcraft Halloween event, because what they did in that game is it was actually kind of Halloween. So what you do is, in every little tavern you can set your hearthstone to and teleport to, and you get a rested bonus when you're inside of one. Every single tavern in every town across the world has a Halloween bucket in it, and you can go trick-or-treating to every single tavern, and you get candy, which you can then trade in for, like, funny little cosmetic items and shit. Like, a couple Halloweens ago, there's, if you get, like, I don't remember the price off the top of my head, because I think I was unsubbed at this time, but, like, if you had, like, say, 50 special candies, you could buy a wand with 50 charges to it that lets you turn into Arthas, the Lich King.
So you just run around as Arthas.
Yeah, it was the old ass model of Arthas that was like actually rigged to the human model, so he could still like move and do like human stuff and like ride mounts and shit. And it would just turn you into Arthas for 1 hour, but it only had 50 charges, and then it was gone. So people would just hold onto that shit for years. So like you'll just be like raiding with some people, and then you'll just like hear like a zap, and then someone will just be Arthas, and you'll just raid with Arthas. Wild transformation items are the fucking god. That's why during raids or during PvP, you'll just see people use their items to transform into random shit. Like, I have, it's one of my favorites that I've had since Wrath, is the Iron Boot Flask. It's a little flask you drink out of, and you turn into an Iron Dwarf, which is a dwarf that's, like, all, like, ironed up and has, like, these blue rune tattoos on him and stuff, for 10 minutes. It has, like, an hour cooldown, so you can only do it every now and then, but you just be an Iron Dwarf. And what I like about it is, for whatever reason, this is the one transformation that, like, does something. But when every time you attack, you have a small chance to have a little lightning bolt shoot out of your hands and deal like 100 damage, which is like nothing. But that's min-max DPS right there if you turn into an Iron Dwarf during a raid. So keep that in mind, people. But anyway, Wild Summoning was nice and cute. You can get you can fight an event boss in Scarlet Monastery. You fight the Headless Horseman. His whole gimmick is you have to knock his head off and then actually beat his head and then beat him. If you don't fight him in the dungeon, in like these certain towns, he'll come on his flying horse and like say these rhymes and start burning the town and setting it on fire. And you have to like save the town by throwing water buckets on the fire, and you get like rewards and shit for it. And it's a really fun event. I like it. I still haven't yet to get the horseman's fucking mount. It is a both ground and flying mount because it can just fly in the air. It's the horseman's mount. It's super cool, and I want it, and I'm mad. One thing I did have, though, is you can get his helmet. And if you would ever wear his helmet and do slash laugh, you do his laugh instead of your own.
That's good. Team Fortress's version of the, it was the horseless, headless horseman. And what he would do is that they had an Art Pass event, which was Valve made a map and then said, hey, everyone, make us a normal version and a Halloween version. And just, here you go, do all the art for it. And I think they gave them, you know, you can only use these palettes. Your polygons should be within this amount. You know, you can't have something that's at 17,000 polygons in it. We're not going to fucking use that, you know, for like one item. And what it was is that you go on the point, and then at a certain point, the horseless, headless horseman would appear. And he was a giant guy with an axe and a pumpkin head. And he would mark one player. And then that player, he would hunt them down and go over and try to, and he would one-shot him with the axe. But what you could do is you could transfer that curse by meleeing another enemy. And then everyone on both sides could shoot and kill the horseless, headless horseman, and then he would die, and he would drop a present, and you would get a Chivo, and it was a ton of fun, because they kept iterating in this in Team Fortress 2 on each Halloween. The very first Scream Fortress was just, hey, here's a spooky map, there's ghosts running around that scare you, shoot pumpkins, and they explode and deal a ton of damage. There you go, here's Koth Harvest event. Then there was this horseless, headless horseman where you could still capture the point while this was going on, and the horses had this horseman would just be running around getting up to a ruckus. And then the year after that is where they kind of took a misstep. It was still fun, but it was kind of annoying now. It was a King of the Hill map, and the Demo Man's ghost eye would appear and start shooting missiles at you, but you couldn't capture the point until he died. And so you would have to just like, okay, all right, fuck. Okay, let's put the game on halt so we can all shoot this eye. And the only way you could kill him, because he had some, I think it was 1,200 health per each person on the server. So every single person on the server had to be trying to kill this dude for him to go down. Otherwise, he just fucking wouldn't. So you had to go through that shit until you could continue playing. And it was fun when everyone in the server was in on it. But then after that, they had they added spells. Where on Halloween maps and Halloween versions of maps, because that was something that they allowed custom map makers to do as well. You would be able to cast magic spells and do silly bullshit. And they had a payload race where it was two payloads you had to push and then capture the thing. It was a lot of fun. And then after that, they did Marasmus, which was another King of the Hill map. But every time someone captured the point, it would roll a roulette wheel and then something would happen. Anything from turning, it was, you know, Marasmus was the soldier's wizard roommate. That was a one-off joke in a comic 4 years earlier. And like, oh fuck, let's go ahead and take that and make it a thing. And that one is my second favorite, right after the horseless headless horseman. Because that one of the things was it would play the opening to Thriller, like he would do the lines from it. Then everyone would get teleported to the middle and do the Thriller taunt. But people would know this would happen, so Demoman would just put a fuckload of stickies right there where the enemy team would spawn. Everyone does the taunt, just immediately blows up the enemy team. It was great. I love Team Fortress.
See, what I remember from the Team Fortress 2 Halloween event, though, I think that was the first one, where throughout the map, little Halloween presents would spawn.
Oh, God, that was a fucking thing, all right.
That was a mess. And I remember when it was first out, like the first week, you could float around in Noclip as a spectator and just pick up the presents. You still have like a hitbox for some reason to pick up gifts. So you would just have people snipe through gifts with spectator mode. And you had other servers where people had like set up these lines and orders to pick up whatever gift would currently spawn. You might be saying, well, why would you do that? You can get these little masks with each class head on. It'd be like a spy mask. It's a little paper bag you put over your head with like a little crude crayon drawing of each like class in the face. And when you wore these masks, you can only do it on Halloween. But if you had all 9 of them together and you crafted them in the craft menu, you can make a Saxton Hale mask, which you could wear all year. That's why people wanted it.
And this is when hats were rare. If you had a hat, it was like, whoa, holy fuck, look at this dude over here. That's awesome. Because this is before trading, I think. Before trading was... Yeah, it was before trading. So when you had a hat, you had it drop for you. That was it. You know, that's the only way that you got hats.
Unless you had a Cheater's Lament or something.
Yeah, but Cheater's Lament was right around the time that hat trading was put in. That was like two months later, I think, hat trading came in from that.
I'm pretty sure Saxton Hale's mask was after the Cheater's Lament.
Maybe.
Well, anyway, I just remember the whole mask fiasco going around on servers during that whole time.
RuneScape still does, they do a lot of events on RuneScape. In RuneScape, whenever they do a quest or event, they always do it really, really big. For Halloween, they made Death into a character who's just like, he's just like a dude. Because I played last year's RuneScape event. What it was is that Death got tickets to DeathCon, and the reward item you got was like a lanyard and a t-shirt that had Death riding a motorcycle, I think. And it was like, Death is just like a wacky dude. He's like, yeah, well, what the fuck? I'm Death. Look at me go. I don't give a shit. And he would just do dumb shit for him. Because RuneScape, the defaults mannerisms of your character is snarky piece of shit. And I love that. That should be for every game. Your guy should just be a snarky asshole for no reason. Because RuneScape does events for Halloween, Easter, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and 4th of July. I don't know if they do any of those stupid Asian events that games are doing now, like the Red Lantern Festival and the Cherry Blossom Festival and the Blood Moon. Like, fucking get out of here. RuneScape is an American game for American people that just happens to be created by two British brothers.
I mean, hey. Last I checked, Halloween was a fucking British holiday. Like, that's where it came from. Second off, at least your game doesn't celebrate Songkran. You know what that is, Tad?
What the fuck is Songkran?
Yeah, everyone says that. Songkran is the Thailand New Year's, which they celebrate in the middle of summer.
What is this goddamn fucking Heroes of New Earth event?
Yes, that's how I learned. I have become cultured in Thai culture because of Heroes of New Earth. I remember there's that new horror game.
Sunda.
I kept saying Taiwan in the fucking one episode. I fucking make. We'll start with the word Thai, but Thailand. So, I learned a lot about Thai culture just from playing this game. And all the fucking avatars and celebrations and holidays that they make, because Han is really, really big in Thailand. And there's this new horror game called Home Sweet Home that is actually based on Thai myths and Thai, like, ghosts and shit, right? So, you know, like, the game takes place in Thai. Like, all the text is in Thai, but if you look at it, like, you pick up, like, a sticky note, it's in Thai, but when you, like, you know, your eyes squint and it turns into English, so that way you can still play it, you know? But, like, what I love playing this game, or watching this game, I watched Moon Moon play it, Overwatch streamer. When I watched him playing this, and all I kept saying to myself is, man, I wonder what next Heroes of New Earth avatar I'm going to see show up now. Like, when the big Preda monster showed up, I'm like, oh yeah, that's the Preda. That's a Deadwood skin in Han. Yeah, that's a hungry ghost that he needs to feed it in order to save it so it goes away. And then the puzzle to beat it was exactly what I just said. And my friends were like, damn, I can't believe playing that piece of shit MOBA made you more cultured.
You know what I got to say about that, Alex?
What?
Bokuten Sunder.
So I want to close this episode off by talking about, because the spooky month of October, about Halloween.
Hell yeah. Halloween is the best American holiday ever. I fucking love it. I love Halloween. It's Christmas without all the preparation, because you just go out there and you be spooky and you get candy and it's a gay old time.
So what I wanted to say is, when you were a kid, so I assume you don't do it nowadays, when you were a kid, what was your strategy to get the most candy?
Easy. So the best strategy was, so when we would go trick-or-treating, well, our routine was the day before, or a few days before, we would do pumpkin carvings. We'd go in there and, I remember I tried to make a Monkey Island one when I was like 9, but it was incredibly complicated. And all I did was just make a fucking mess of the pumpkin. So I eventually just like punched it out and I just like put two little eyes about it. So it just looked like a really surprised pumpkin, which had a big old mouth and two little tiny eyes. So my mom, we would take that. We would strain all the seeds. We would cook them in the oven. You would have roasted pumpkin seeds. And our strategy, we would go about, there's three different ways. One, you go to a small town, but you bring two costumes. So that's one potential one. You go to, you know, you go to a small town that has like 800 people and you just go across the entire town. You go to the little convention center that they have in the town there, you know, the little town hall meeting. You go in there. There's the police officers that scan your candy for razor blades, which I'm still not sure if that was ever a thing. I don't think it was.
I mean, who would want to actually go and just harm children on a wide scale? I think that was just some paranoia bullshit.
I mean, I do it, but only through the safety of the internet and when they're, like, causing me to lose in Team Fortress 2. But you do that, and then you do it all again in a different costume. Preferably the second one covers your face, or the first one, it depends. The other one is you go to the really rich part of town, and then you just go up there. You know, you start from the top of the rich person hill, and you work your way down. And then the third is stealing other people's candy.
Ooh, funny you mentioned that.
I never stole candy, because I'm not a piece of shit. Except for that time my little brother and I stole from a local pool, where we just went in and we took all the candy. Didn't take any of the money, because we're not fucked up. Because we, being children, were like, let's not do that, because that's actually fucked up. We don't want to do that, we're just going to take some candy. Like, that's the only time I've stolen candy. So,
okay, so here was my strategy for Halloween. So I wasn't as elaborate with getting two costumes like you, but I go in, I got my sister with me, right? My little sister. I'm like, all right, Ava, see these little buckets we got? She's like, yeah, screw these buckets. I get our pillowcases. Like, these are like three times the size. We're using this to hold candy. All right.
Hell yeah.
So we start going door to door, getting like just crap loads of candy. I meet up with another one of my buddies. We're just going like in fucking like patterns. We split up to get all the fucking candy all at once. And then we have our big ol' like candy pile, our treasure, right? So here's the thing. So my sister is my sister. She's a little girl. She's not going to eat all this candy. So I know half of what she's collecting is actually going to end up in my stomach instead. So I made sure she got a lot of candy too, just so that, because the more she gets, the more I get.
And now, right? When you say this, do you mean you're just going to forcibly take half the candy?
No, she's just gonna, no, I just wait. She's just gonna eat like half of it and leave it there, and I'll just be like, wake up the next morning and just say like, well, and just scoop it into that bucket I previously threw away, just like, well, this is mine now, and I just take it back into my room and eat it.
One time I was snooping in my little brother's room, and I found candy from like two Halloweens ago in the past, and I ate it, and it was really good, because it was like a cherry cough drop. It was, actually, you know what? Now I think about it, it might have just been a cherry cough drop, because it was it didn't have like the Halls thing, but it had the little white swirl that like those Halls breezes. I think I just ate a 2-year-old cough drop that I found in his sock drawer.
Okay. So, from all your Halloween experiences, what is the best and worst costumes you've seen or worn yourself?
Well, so when I was in like second or third grade, my mom, for a costume contest at the school, made me a Fire Mario costume because he had one of those little golfer hats. And so he put like a big M on there. And I was like, oh, hell yeah. I put on overalls because we had brown overalls. I'm like, okay, brown overalls, white shirt, brown shoes. Hell yeah, let's do this. We didn't make a mustache for some reason. I don't know why we didn't like do that. But I was Fire Mario and I thought I was the coolest motherfucker on the planet.
Okay, I need to interrupt you because, funny enough, the worst costume I've ever seen when I was in second grade. Now, I did not live around 10 when we were in second grade, so this is just a big coincidence. But I knew this kid in second grade who made a homemade Mario costume, much
Uh-oh.
Like you. So,
He
was just regular Mario. It wasn't Fire Mario. But he had a stupid pair of overalls that he clearly borrowed from, like, his older brother or some shit, because they didn't fit him. He had his stupid, like, red fucking, like, popped collar, like, shirt to look nice. He had a red hat with a little, like, Mario thing. But the thing that sold it on me as being the worst costume I've ever seen is he had a big fake mustache that he made out of tinfoil that he just colored black. It looked so bad. I mean, he should...
Tinfoil?
Yeah, it was like a bunch of tinfoil wrapped together and like cut up to look like Mario's mustache, which admittedly, they at least tried to get the shape right. It didn't look like some kind of weird potato or something, but like it just looked bad. And he like taped it to his lip so it would stick on. It was just like everything just looked so bad about it. Fucking Christ.
Holy shit. Okay, so when we would have those multiple costumes, we always repurposed the same stuff. We had a monk robe, and then we had vampire stuff. You know, we had Scream mask, we had Jason stuff, Ninja Turtles, Hulk Hogan, shit like that, where I was like, basic stuff. Like, Hulk Hogan was just like a shirt and like a headband and like blonde hair, you know? The worst costume I ever saw or made was, oh God, this was like freshman year. I was old enough to know this was a bad idea. So oh, what it God. Was, it was like a small comic. I don't remember. But it was like homemade Shy Guy costume. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. And so what I did was I took my older brother's graduation robes because they were red. All right, got the red robe. I took his Taco Bell belt from his work uniform and put it around my waist like a Shy Guy. And then the best part was the mask, which was a paper plate that I drew three circles on. And I'm like, yeah, this is good. I did it literally in crayon. But it gets even better. So I go with my little brother and we go trick-or-treating. And the first house I get to, they open the door and they're like, oh, what the hell is that? They said, what the hell is that? That is the lamest excuse I have ever seen. Because what they must have, like, looked at it and thought, oh, this is just a bullshit mask so that he can, like, egg our house later. But they just, like, it was like a minute and a half of them just shaming me. And I'm like, I don't want to go trick-or-treating anymore.
You're a fucking loser. Okay, so I think the worst costume I've ever... Okay, this costume wasn't bad. It was actually pretty nice looking. I went as Phantom of the Opera once when I was in middle school. So my mom just got me the costume. It wasn't bad, but what I thought was funny is that I still just wore my sneakers. So I just looked really goofy. But I love just that the costume was actually good. Even though it was only the fucking mask that covers, like, your eyes, no one could actually tell it was me. They're like, what the fuck? And they look down and see my shoes, like, oh, hey, it's Alex. What's up, dude?
He's got his stupid sneakers on.
I got my stupid sneakers on. And I know one of my buddies, I think his name was either Stan or Steve. I could be totally wrong. His name could have been totally something else. We're just going to call him Steve for now. So you know him, actually. You knew him in freshman year. He fucking found my one folder that I lost once. That kid. I remember he went as, like, a punk rocker, so he was basically just himself with a really goofy-looking mohawk and, like, a fucking weird spiked thing around his, like, a spiked collar thing. I remember he looked really fucking lame. I bet he thought he was so fucking cool. But, that's about it if I can remember from Halloween costumes. I myself haven't really worn anything terrible. Like, I can only remember three costumes I've ever worn as a kid. I've probably worn more. But these are the only ones I can remember. When I was in first grade, when I was a real, real little tyke, remember I had a fucking Charmander costume that my dad got me. And I know that I was so little that my dad was still in my life. That's how long ago that was. I don't remember what grade it was, but I remember having a fucking, I had to have been like fourth grade, or third or fourth grade, a Yu-Gi-Oh costume. Came with this really shitty plastic mask, but I didn't use it because it looked like shit. And then I had the Phantom of the Opera costume. And that's all I can remember from actually using costumes. I didn't make any weird homemade bullshit like you, because I had family that had money and loved me enough to buy me an actual costume.
But didn't love you enough to help you make a costume.
Your mom didn't sound like she helped you make that one. Okay.
No, I was fucking 14.
Okay. So you mentioned pumpkin carving. Oh, let's talk about this one fucking story I have about how fucking stupid and pissed off I am at everyone besides myself, because this is totally my own fault, but I blame everyone else anyway. Okay. So my family never really got along all that well. My mom would try to make us. So one of the attempts was, during Halloween, make us all get together and carve pumpkins together. Makes sense. You know, it's a family activity. So she gives us these, like, tracing things to help, like, trace and make good-looking pumpkins. I say, nah, I'm too good for that. I can make a good-ass pumpkin on my own. So you want to know how that turned out? So I had this fucking, it looked like, you know that guy from the Goonies, the big retard? So we put all of our pumpkins out together and took a picture, and took a picture of all the pumpkins. It's still in my family album. I would have to go like all the way back to fucking Colorado and go get it, because my mom's got it, but it's like my stepdad's pumpkin's like this fucking like cat. My stepbrother's pumpkin was like fucking Frankenstein or something. Like, they looked really good because they had the tracing like paper to help them. And then you see mine is the third pumpkin that has like a fucked up looking mouth and eye like all the way to the side bent. I tried to make the generic like triangle eyes and the fucking mouth with the little tooth. I wanted to make it just a generic pumpkin, but do it on my own. Carving into a fucking pumpkin is a lot of work, at least when you're little and you don't have strong arms. So I'm just like trying to stab at this fucking pumpkin and make these shapes. He has like a square eyeball and a fucking like trapezoid one bent sideways, and he had this fucking horrible mouth. He looked so bad, and my sister just made fun of me for like the entire fucking month. It sucked so bad. So it was always out there, my stupid ass fucking pumpkin. Oh, I hated it. But it's everyone else's fault but my own.
Okay, Alex. I just want to let you know that, you know, childhood is idolizing the Crunch Bar. Adulthood is realizing that Mounds makes more sense. Mounds is the best Halloween candy by fucking far. Because it's got this. Number one, dark chocolate. Number two, coconut. Number three, a big-ass almond. It is the best candy to get.
Okay. So, chocolate's good, but I can never eat too much of it because it makes my stomach hurt and I want to die, you know? But when I can eat a lot of, and my actual favorite Halloween candy to get, motherfucking Jolly Ranchers.
Yeah, what do you fucking live in a goddamn grade school with your Jolly Ranchers? Get out of here. I got sick of Jolly Ranchers. I grew up, Alex, okay? I grew up.
No. You're just mad because you were never a good enough student to get Jolly Ranchers as
Shut
a
up.
Kid.
Shut up, Alex.
See, every time I eat Jolly Rancher, I get a nostalgic flashback of how I got an A on the test. And I was like, yeah, I'm the best person here. Give me that motherfucking blueberry Jolly Rancher. It tastes like victory. Almonds? Nah, fuck that shit. I hate the taste of almonds. You eat almonds because you're some poor motherfucker. I eat victory candy. I eat candy that makes me feel like I'm better than everyone else.
There was a house in my neighborhood when I was growing up. They gave out just fucking cans of Mr. Pibb. It was so weird because it'd be like, okay, yeah, cool. Happy Halloween. Here's a can of goddamn Dr. Pepper. Like, thanks. I mean, yeah, sure. I'll take it. I mean, I'm going on a candy trek, so I mean I'll take it. Yeah, you know, keep me soded up here. But that was weird. One time in one of these smaller towns, when we went trick or treating. It was me and my little brother, and literally, I just got done telling him, hey, remember, you know, because we would split up and go to different houses sometimes, you know, to get more coverage. And you would be like, you know, and to scout out the area to know, oh, they're giving away popcorn balls. Ignore them. You know, don't even give them the time of day. Oh, they're giving out candy corn. Okay, let's make sure to take a shit on their doorstep because they're giving out
candy corn.
Alex, if anyone would like candy corn, it would be you.
What? Okay. What the fuck is wrong with candy corn?
It tastes like shit. Candy corn tastes like shit, Alex. It's bad. I'll give you three reasons why candy corn sucks. One, it's dumb. Two, it's stupid. Three, I hate it. It is the worst candy. Okay. Anyone listening to this podcast, if you even, like, if you think of candy corn and don't immediately, like, start flailing in anger and spitting, unsubscribe from iTunes. Unfollow. Don't even, like, look at my Discord, because I will ban your ass. But, so I just told Timmy, I told him, hey, remember, if anyone ever invites you into their house or something weird like that, or, and I quote, some weird shit like that, as I said when I was, like, 10, you know, don't go into the house. So we're going down this like driveway thing, and the garage is open, and then there's an old guy sitting there in a chair. He's like, yeah, come on inside the house. And immediately we disregard it because he had full size candy bars. So immediately just disregarded all of it when they're like, hell yeah, give me that full size almond Hershey's candy bar. Fuck yeah. But oh God, what else? My nephew, I'm probably going to take him trick-or-treating this year. His outfit last year, he was just a pumpkin. He was just a big old pumpkin. This year, my mom got him a full-body dragon costume where it's got, like, a zip-up thing. And it's really warm because that was the worst part about Halloween is if your costume was really thin, you would freeze to death out there, you know?
Because Halloween's in fucking the end of October. It's fucking cold.
Exactly. So what I'm going to do this year is I'm going to go ahead because he's going to be a dragon. And I still have my knight costume from PAX. I'm going to wear that and take him out trick-or-treating as a knight, and he's going to go as a dragon. So, also, my mom's birthday is on Halloween, so we always made a really big show of it because it was a really fun event. But yeah, Halloween is the best holiday.
I got nothing to add to that. Like, you're factually correct. What do you want me to do? Argue it? Like, if the fucking...
Debate me.
It's got events and games that give you free shit. It's got fucking candy and shit. It's the best. Christmas is like the only thing that could even compete with it. And Christmas is a little worse if you work in retail because you get to see the ugly side of Christmas and have to deal with it.
I do remember one last thing about Halloween. The first walk-around flash for Homestuck came out in Halloween. And I remember playing it while I was handing out candy to kids and shit. Like, I would just get up, walk over to the door and give... Because... If you stop by my house, on Halloween, I'm going to give you a fistful of candy. Like, I'm going to give you a goddamn, like, two scoops of Skittles, okay? Like, bam, bam. If I get my hand on some fun-size Almond Joys, oh, you know those fuckers are going in your bag. Like, I had people get mad at me because I gave their kid way too much candy. And I'm like, hey, not my fault. Merry Christmas. Happy Halloween, motherfucker.
No, you go to Halloween dressed as Santa Claus, giving out lots of candy. It's a costume.
Yeah, it'll be great. I'll go as the skeleton of Christmas, because Christmas is dead. But yeah, Halloween's awesome. I'm looking forward to it. We recorded this episode on the 15th. It'll probably go up in a few days, once I get around to it, because I've been super, super busy. But
yeah, super busy dying of tuberculosis and shit.
Yep, I still have to go in the hospital for that, so I'm going to find out. You'll find out for sure if I have the TB, if I got the consumption. But, so this will be, you know, this is our bonus episode for this month. We're going to continue the Homestuck stuff throughout the rest of October, finishing it up on October 25th. But I want to give a thank you to all the Patreon people for getting us that reward for the extra bonus noise boys or guest boys each month. These are always a lot of fun to do. I also do the Patreon questions, and people $2 and up can send us in a question. We answer it in a really fun, it's like 40 minutes to an hour. I think the longest one was like an hour and 10 minutes.
It really just depends on the questions themselves. If they make us get into these big ass 20 minute debates about life.
Yeah. Or make us come up with impromptu Bigfoot stories. Sorry if my audio had some weird background stuff. The neighbors upstairs are like stomping around and doing judo or some shit. But I just want to again say thank you guys for listening in. You can find the show on all the usual venues there on the website, lmtya.com, or the preferred URL, which is letmetellyouabout.moe. Twitter at letmetellyupd. All that good stuff will be in the description. But I hope you guys have a happy and spooky. And if an old man offers you a full size candy bar to go inside of his house, you're probably good to do it. I was probably just being too worried. I mean, it's a full size Snickers. It's probably worth the trouble.